It's time to travel to the next room with Jane Asher, an exploration of the bigger picture surrounding life on Earth and what follows. Now, here's your host, Jane Asher, on Empower Radio.
It's always a good day when I can step out into the studio and speak to you about topics that I am very involved with and am very passionate about. And one of them is The Next Room. And what is The Next Room? Well, of course, it's my podcast, but it's also the name of my brand new book. So let me just kind of go back a little bit. It's a beautiful day here in Southern California and so different than what we're used to in the summertime. It's very foggy and there was a little mist in the air and it's overcast. And being the Michigan girl that I am, I absolutely love it. I have no complaints. I love Southern California. I love where we live in San Diego County. But if there was one observation, it would be that we don't have enough precipitation. And I'm a gal that loves a thunderstorm. I like rain. I like that moody weather. And I don't get it very often. We do in the winter sometimes, but it's pretty rare in the summer. So this morning, get up. It's kind of foggy and it's misting outside. And I looked at the puppers and I'm like, let's go. So we took a really nice, long, chilly smell of the neighborhood. And it was really pristinely quiet. Nobody was out. It was just me and the puppy who just greeted you down below. I don't know if you heard her, but she needs to be quiet because we have to be able to do this show. So anyway, I was going to have someone interview me about the book and how I came to writing a book. And then the more I started thinking about it, I just felt it was a little self-serving and a little kind of too precious, kind of like, here, interview me on my podcast about my book. And then I thought, well, heck, why not do a solo show and kind of describe the process and what I went through and how I went from just purely being a radio person for the past 30 some years to becoming a published author and the process I went through and kind of what has brought me to not only the podcast, but also to now writing books, which I'm kind of obsessed with. Years ago, when I was doing terrestrial radio, which means your basic everyday radio that you tune in, frequency on the dial, my husband had thrown an article at me about podcasting, and it was in the Union Tribune, and it was sort of like at the very beginning before podcasts were really as hot as they are now. And he said, you know, you should consider doing this. You could actually do a podcast about something you're passionate about, and you have the studio, because he had built me this cool little small studio in the corner of our garage for voiceover work previously, years before, right? So I thought, okay, yeah, that might be kind of fun. So I had started doing a podcast called Voices of Vision, which was really great. And it was about other people's passions, but it sort of fizzled out. I don't know why, but it seemed like it was hard for me to find people. It was just, it just took too much energy. So I stopped doing it. And then the guy that owns this network, Empower Radio, his name is Brent Carey, and he's just fabulous man. I love him so much. He said, Jane, why don't you do a show about your passion? And I actually had to sit and think about it for quite some time. I'm like, what am I passionate about? You know, yes, I like to read, but am I going to do a podcast about reading? I don't think so. Yes, I love to write. Am I going to talk about writing? I don't know. You know, I love gardening, but I'm not, you know, I'm just like your average dig in the dirt kind of gal. I have a pot of basil. I've got cherry tomatoes. I've got some citrus trees, but it's not like I have any amount of land here in California to really garden. So I was going through all the things that I actually love. Music. Okay, great. But I don't know if I'm overly qualified to do something about music. And then it came to me that I should do a show about what's next after we're here on this planet. But I didn't want it just to be all this magical, mystical stuff about the next room. I wanted it to also encompass conversations about death, dying, grief, just all of the elements, getting our affairs in order and all of that. So I wrote up kind of an idea. I gave it to Brent. He said, I love it. We don't have anything on the network like that. Let's do it. So The Next Room was launched. And my friend Budge, at the time, we would have these deep conversations, and she would always tell me that her estimation of what came next was that we're here and then we're just over there. So we're sort of like in the next room, behind the veil, so to speak. And so I loved it. Thank you, Budgie, for the name of the show. And it is now the name of my book. And I should say our book, because it wasn't just me. My beautiful mother, Betty, definitely had a very loving, guiding hand in everything about this book. And not only my mom, who is no longer with us on this side, but she is in the next room, my dad, who was incredibly instrumental in this entire process. And I just have to give him a major shout out, because if it were not for my dad, I don't think I ever would have discovered how to connect so deeply with my mom. And then I also have to say thank you to Lynn, my sister Lynn, who, oh my gosh, you know, oh, such a powerhouse of a woman. But it wasn't shortly after she passed away that I kind of received this sort of lightning bolt message from her. You know, I have these connections where people kind of talk to me through me. I don't know how it happens, but I definitely love to communicate with those that have gone before me, and I ask them questions and I have conversations, and no, I don't think it's weird. I think it's completely natural, and it's just how I'm very comforted by these connections. So Lynn gave me this amazing idea. So thank you to Lynn. Thank you to my mother. Thank you to my dad. Thank you to Budge. You seeing a trend here? They're all in the next room. Oh, my goodness. Okay, so I decided on this contemplative walk this morning with the pup, misty, foggy, overcast, very Michigan gal kind of morning I loved, that I would go ahead and just sort of do a show and explain the process about the book and why I came to writing this book, and that I'm just so very grateful that I was allowed to connect and to be able to put forth what I love. And this, I'm holding it in my hands right now, and it literally, I start to shake every time I look at it and feel it and open it up and do that with the pages. And so it's been really, really a lot of fun. All right, so here's this woman, radio background, 30-odd years doing radio, maybe even 40, who knows. She just turned 60. Hello. And she wants to do this book. Well, back in 2020, right before the governor shut us down and the whole coronavirus was going crazy, I had lost a big client. I was doing social media, and I had this very good, well-paying client, and that went away. And so I went to my husband and I said, oh gosh, here we are. It's COVID time. Nobody's hiring. What am I going to do? And he looked at me and he said, you're going to write your flipping book. So thank you to my husband for the encouragement. I was like, well, what about money? He's like, just relax. You know, we're okay. We don't live very lavishly. We laugh a lot. We always say somebody's got to pay for this lavish lifestyle. And that would happen to be him at the moment. And so thank you to Tom. I actually sat down and I have this box. It's called the Angel Box. And I call it that because it's like this kind of like a little crate, rounded, looks like a little fortune chest, I guess. And it's got purple angels on it. And it says the words peace and joy and love on it. And I started collecting things in there years and years ago. I have gratitude journals in there. I have letters that I've written to people. I have letters that I've received. I've got pieces of stories that I hope to write someday. And some of the stuff is kind of painful. A lot of it is actually painful. There are some obituaries in there. There are some letters that I've written to people after they've left, just pouring out my heart. And so I kept everything in this box, in this angel box, and I started sifting through it one day. And I just realized I'm not strong enough. I just can't handle what's in this box. Well, now that, you know, we're in lockdown, it's 2020. I I'm not going to go anywhere. All the travel's canceled. Can't go to Michigan to see the family. Not going to travel. We had a trip scheduled that we had won. That got canceled. And so it's like, it's a perfect time to just hunker down and sift through the Angel Box and open up my laptop and finally get busy writing this story that I've been yapping about forever. Because I would tell people, oh, yeah, I'm writing a book. Well, I really wasn't. I thought I was, and I had all these various elements and pieces of this story. But to truly sit down and to write something like a book that I'm holding in my hands, it takes, I don't want to say effort, it takes dedicated passion. It takes daily carving out that time and really shutting off the world. And I was able to do that because of this quiet time in my life where all I had was a brand new puppy and we were only seeing our children and we had each other and I had a very supportive husband. So I came in my studio every day. First, I completely kind of reconfigured it into a writing studio. I got rid of some things. I moved the printer out of here and into Tom's office. I pushed the desktop back. I have this huge glass top table, cleaned it all off. And I created sort of like a next room vibe. So up in front of me, which used to have big speakers on it, which I gave to a friend because I no longer need, I have a picture of me and Budge. I've got a picture of me and Dick Kernan. I've got Mom and Dad and myself. I've got me and Mom on the beach. I've got me and Lynn Marie on her deck in Lexington. Another one of my mother and I on our boat. My mom laughing down in Florida. Me and Dad on the beach in Florida. You know, I just have all these great pictures. Even my dog, Honey, who had passed away. So I kind of created the next room in the next room. So that's where I am. So I cleared off the desk and I opened up my laptop and I just started first going through everything I had written because I had pieces and elements of this supposed book in journals and whatever. I had it all over the place. So I started gathering from my two laptops and my Angel Box and my desktop and old handwritten notes and journal entries, and it was just scattered, right? So I started kind of collecting it all and sort of looking at it. Then I just sort of started writing, and I didn't really know what I was writing, but I just kind of started pouring my heart out about different times in my life, right, that were taking me through this story. And then as I was doing that, it kind of started coming together, and I'm like, son of a gun, I actually may have a book here. But it kept morphing and changing because I wasn't sure, first of all, how to write a book. Second of all, is anybody going to care? And that was a big part, but that's my ego talking, right? Because I'm not really doing this for anyone. I'm to be honest with you, this was probably the best personal session. It was like going to a counselor every single day, and that counselor just happened to be in the form of a laptop and just sitting down and pouring it out, pouring my heart out. And it was really cathartic because I have not that I've had such a good life. I'm not here to tell you I've had this terrible life, but I have suffered loss, right? You know, this person who, just I have such a bond with my mother. And so she disappears. And then I have this strong, powerful older sister. And then she goes. And then my dog. And then, you know, one of my best friends on the planet, Budgie. And then my dad. And so all of this loss started to manifest into the story. It kind of all started, the pieces started coming together. And that is what The Next Room is kind of all about. It's a story about a daughter who was incredibly sad to have to physically say goodbye to her mom and then deciding, like, hey, I got to tell this story. You know, I need to tell this story. So here's where my dad comes in. After my mother left, which, you know, I've written the story before, she left on September 31st, 2010. And if anybody knows anything about calendars, there are not 31 days in September, but the calendar that she had given us, which she had done every year since I was this young woman moving out of, you know, Michigan, moved to California. My mother would give me a calendar, and on the calendar, she would write everybody's birthdays, all the anniversaries, all the things that she needed me to remember so that I wouldn't lose my close contact with my Michigan family. So great. She gives me this calendar that year for Christmas. She dies, and it was, I can still hear the guttural scream that I had after my sister Lynn called to tell me. And I go, I can't calm down. My husband's like, you need to sit with your grief. And I'm like, no, I have to get on an airplane. I got to get out of here. I got to go home. I got to see Dad. So I grab the calendar off the back of the kitchen door, and I'm flipping between, you know, because here it's end of September, October. I'm flipping back and forth, trying to figure out how to get the four of us on a flight back to Michigan to be with my dad and my siblings. And that's the time that I noticed. I'm like, September 31st. So I'm calling the airlines and I'm like, well, today's the 31st. And they're like, no, today's October 1st. I'm like, what? It says September 31st on my calendar. So I'm showing Tom. Tom's like, Jane, there is not a 31st of September. It's a typo on the calendar that your mother gave you. Isn't that bizarre? So my mother slips into the next room on a day that doesn't really exist. I don't know why, but it sort of made everything a little bit softer. So she passes away. Flash forward. I'm not going to get into all of the everything that came up to brought my dad to my side, but it was the following February, and you know, my dad loves the sunshine, and my mother had passed away, so my dad didn't have the heart to go it alone in Florida. So my husband was like, wanted to cheer me up. Yeah, good luck with that. So he throws me a surprise 50th birthday party. Behind my back, he's planning everything with my sister Lynn to get my dad to come out to surprise his baby girl. That gets my dad out of Lynn and Cal's house, which they needed because my dad had been staying with them since my mother crossed September 31st / October 1st. And so it worked out. My dad was like, okay. So Lynn puts him on a plane. He flies out here and he's going to spend a month with us. When he's here, I get the kids off to school one day and he came up to me and he said, Jane, I want to talk to your friend. And I'm like, Dad, I have a lot of friends. You're going to have to be more specific. And he said, you know, the one that does seances and stuff. And I started laughing. It's total old school, right? And I said, oh, you mean my friend Pam? Well, Pam, of course, fabulous friend of mine. She's a psychic. At the time, I had no idea that she was a psychic medium. Psychics kind of can see your future. They can tell you about what's going to, you know, new job, love life, money, career, a move across the country, whatever. But a medium actually connects with people on the other side. And for some reason, Pam and I just never discussed it. Here, I've known this woman for a very long time. I met her in the early 80s in Santa Barbara, and she just doesn't really promote the medium side of what she does. Although I'm here to tell you, the woman has an antenna and a frequency and a radio tuner all of her own, and she can connect with those on the other side. So I'm telling my dad at the time, I'm like, I don't know what you think she can do for you, but certainly I'll call my friend and see if she might have a chat with you. Do me a favor, because she's expensive, you know, and I didn't really want to drop that kind of money, nor did I have it at the time. A couple kids in grade school / high school. So I call Pam. She's like, absolutely, Jane, I would love to speak with your dad. So here's my 84-year-old grieving father. I park him on the phone in the backyard because he's a big sun worshiper, give him a big glass of ice water, put him in the lounger. And I said, okay, I'm going to give you privacy. I'm going to go in the house and prep dinner. And I did. And then I kept peeking around the corner to see if he's still on the phone, Close to an hour goes by, and I can see he's finally hung up the phone, and I'm thinking, oh boy, what did I get my poor friend into? You know, here she's doing me a favor, and she had to be on the phone with my grieving dad for an hour. So I go outside, and here's my big bull of a dad sitting there, tears streaming down his little sun-kissed cheeks. I'm like, oh, No. I'm like, oh, Jane, what'd you do? What'd you do? What'd you do? I'm so sorry, Dad. I'm like, I keep repeating to him, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. I never should have hooked you up with this phone call. And he said, no, it's okay. She was here. And I'm like, what? He's like, she was here. And I'm like, who was here? And he said, your mother was here. Come on, let's go. She's sending a recording to your studio. My dad, who no longer moves that quickly, gets up like he's running the 50-yard dash, hauling ass towards our house, through the living room, out to my small studio, sits down in my main chair. I pull up a little stool next to him, and sure enough, Pam had sent a recording of their call. Okay. Thus, the start of truly what The Next Room is all about for me. My dad got this entire party started. It's because of him. It's because of his insistence that Pam had some mystical, magical, holy grail message for him that I was able to actually sit down, receive, and write and pull this whole thing together. So hats off to my dad. My dad was super intuitive. And we would have these long, cool conversations about what happens when you do cross over, because he was so, so befuddled and so sad and so depressed after Mom left that we were like, oh, goodness, is he going to go too? Like, we honestly thought that he was going to check out, his words for dying, right behind her, because he was such, he'd say things like, I'm just marking time and, you know, I miss your mom. And it was depressing, and it sucked because it sounded like he was kind of throwing in the towel. Well, from the time of her leaving, something happened. Something kind of switched. And I'm telling you, these calls, which I then, because it was so cathartic for him and so healthy and so wonderful, I gave him a yearly call with Pam. And he would say that it was his phone call to your mother. And he always wanted to call her around her birthday. They were always in April, because my mom's birthday was in April. So, and he loved it. He had a full hour where he would just connect with my mother through Pam. And my mother would say things that only my mother and dad knew, and would show Pam things to show my dad, so that he indeed knew that it truly was her in the next room communicating with him. Because I know a lot of people think it's hooey and they don't believe it and whatever. And that's fine. Everybody has a right to their own opinion about this life experience and what is or possibly isn't next. And I honor everybody's opinion. Knock yourself out. But this is my truth. It was my dad's truth. And I'm here to tell you, oh, my goodness, it is so spectacular to have that connection, to know that our loved ones, you know, they don't really go away. They just change forms, but they're available. They're available to connect, to love, to share, to help us grow, because now they have this elevated, beautiful, bigger perspective. So, man, huge props to my dad for getting the party started, and also for Lynn. For Lynn was the one, that lightning bolt of information. Lynn was the one that, through her voice in my head, suggested that I contact my friend Pam to help me with this book. And I kid you not, I wrote Lynn a letter a week after she passed away. I'm on a flight coming home from her funeral. Okay. And I am so depressed. I mean, I've not only lost my mother, but now I've lost my best big sister. I love all my sisters, but Lenny and I were like, she was just so down to earth and so pragmatic and so no BS and just called it like she saw it and so fair and treated every single person the same. Boy, what a gaping hole she left in her community and our family. So Lynn's passed away. This is 6 years after my mother, right? Felt like it was one day. And I'm flying home from her funeral, super sad and packed down with lots of heartache and grief. And all of a sudden, I had to write Lynn a letter. So I had no paper. Shocker, because I always have paper, but I didn't. So the only thing I had was my boarding pass, my Delta boarding pass. And, you know, on the boarding pass, you can write around the actual ticket and on the backside. So I'm writing my sister Lynn a letter. And in this letter, I posed a question to her. I said, how do I write this book with Mom, the metaphysical help of Mom? How do I ask her to help me? And it was like Lynn just popped into my thoughts and just said, ask your friend Pam. Pam knows how to connect with us on the other side. And I'm like, I won't say, I'll go, holy beep, that's a great idea. So I did. The plane landed. I called Pam. I said, Pam, I'm thinking about, like, I'm finally going to write this book, and I want to do it with my mother, but I don't know how to connect. Will you help me? And of course, here's my friend Pam once again saying, absolutely, Jane. I don't know what you want me to do, but I'm here for you. And that kind of started me on this next level journey of connecting with my mother and recording everything and then transcribing everything. And then, dun, da, 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 here we are, the next room. So as my mother has told me, it's not going to be for everyone, and that's okay, because truly, I wrote this for myself. This was my therapy. This was Jane Asher's therapy to move forward and to understand that I didn't lose my mother. I didn't lose my sister. I didn't lose Dad or Budge or Dick Kernan. They're still here. They're here with me now. They just have changed forms. So thank you for indulging me today and doing this show about the book. If you're curious, obviously there will be a link on the show page. And I'm giving away a lot of copies because I think it's important. But if you would like to purchase a copy, go for it. There's an ebook. There's the actual paperback. You can get it in every variation. And I also am going to have an audiobook, but I've got to kind of figure that out. I've got to sit down and do the whole story and read the book myself, because obviously it'll be easy for me because I've read it, you know. First, I wrote it with a lot of help, but then I've also read it about, 888 times. So thanks so much for tuning in to The Next Room. My name is Jane Asher. I appreciate everybody on the Facebook page and those that follow me on Twitter. And I really appreciate your feedback and this community. It's just been so beautiful for me. And of course, speaking of beautiful, the Beautiful Dying Expo, this podcast is the official podcast of the Beautiful Dying Expo. It is free. Join us. It's virtual. You can be in the comfort of your own home and join us on November 12th, 13th, and 14th. I'm going to be interviewing Pamela Osley. Yes. I'm going to be interviewing Sarah Bamford Seidelman, who's a fabulous shaman and just brilliant writer herself. I'm going to interview Casey Gaunt, who my new friend Casey is just an amazing man, and his story will blow you away. He's got two great books. I'm going to interview Jesse Brezendine, my friend Jan Warner. Oh my gosh, I love Jan. She's from Grief Speaks Out and also has Grief Day by Day. Massively cool woman. And also, who else do I have? Oh, I don't have my list in front of me. I hope I'm not missing somebody. I have a feeling I am. Let's see, Pam. Oh, Diane Ray from Be Present with Diane Ray. She's on Unity. So it's going to be a lot of fun. There's going to be workshops. You can go into a grief center. There's going to be resources. Patch Adams is going to be there. He's going to be one of our keynote speakers. Yes, the Patch Adams. So Beautiful Dying Expo. You can go to beautifuldyingexpo.com to find out more and sort of register to come, although it is free. They just kind of want to know in advance. And obviously spread the word. So thank you so much for listening to The Next Room. I will be back next week.
Join Jane again next week for The Next Room on Empower Radio as she examines the beliefs, traditions, and personal evidence of connection with those who have moved on to The Next Room.